I'm James Fritz, and I never listened to None Taken.
And what kind of questioning did she get today? Did that kind of prove that? Were they asking her questions unrelated?
Yeah, they brought up some emails that she brought that she had sent to Jared Kushner, asking about, you know, asking for help valuing the like the post office building, the old post office building
in D.C.
Yeah, and her lawyers tried to get that barred from entry because of spousal, what's that called, like spousal privilege, just like attorney-client privilege. And the judge said no, he would allow it because it was, you know, it was done in from a business email address, and it was clearly about business.
He's a businessman doing business thing.
Yeah. So, but she's like, well, I don't really remember, you know, dealing with that. I wasn't involved with it. So yeah, it wasn't much.
I mean, there's no way that the judge already made a decision in the case. So it was just like how bad the punishment is going to be is essentially what this was, right? And everything he's done is just with the attitude of this will go to appeals. But then he's said things because he talks too much. It's not a campaign rally. And it's like, you shouldn't have said that, you know. Did you hear that Don Jr. was talking too fast?
Doesn't surprise me.
Don't you remember there was, we used to have a drop where it was Don Jr.'s on coke with him saying it really, really fast.
I do remember that, Well, they're at a rally today in Florida.
A wowie?
Well, because the
from Republican... American Tail or Five Will Goes West. A wowie?
The third Republican debate is tonight.
Oh, is it? So, that's so funny.
So he's counter-programming it, of course.
You know, we do a news headline roundup and, you know, geopolitics show. Mm-hmm. It was completely off my radar. Really? That was happening tonight. Yeah. Wow. That's funny.
Right. It's happening.
Well, we're not going to cover that, I guess. Unless you got anything. Are you watching it while we talk?
I think it starts at 7. So, okay. Yeah. And we're live.
I just got back from dropping Natasha off at the airport. That's kind of why I'm just kind of bummed like this.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not used to feeling this way. Like, I've been in relationships where my partner goes out of town and I'm like, yay, it's vacation. We're going to jack off in the living room. You know, like, damn it, we're never going to get Al Gore on here. God damn it. I didn't mention my prostate.
You didn't mention that. So there is that. Yeah. Where is she going? San Diego?
San Diego for her sister's baby shower.
Oh, right.
It's a lot of personal information to be putting out on the show, Alan.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's,
Yeah, I don't know. Just like genuinely, like sad. Like it's like, I'm sure I'll have good days, but it's like, yeah, they'd be better. Like, you know, it's like a lower ceiling. All right, I'm sure people wanted to tune in and listen to me talk about how. I guess it's a good thing, right? Like, it's a sign of.
That's a good sign.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, at least you got the dogs to keep you company. You
know? Well, the dogs are as upset as I am. Petra's so emotional. Yeah. Like, I came home and she's like so happy to see me. And then she's like settling down and she's like,
Where's
she literally started looking at the door. She's like, are you going to let her in? Like, where the fuck did you guys go? Like, yeah. Yeah. Aww. Yeah, I know. All right. Well, I had this whole thing I was going to talk about to start the show, but then I looked at it right before we did the show and I'm just not feeling it. But there's this whole the current president of the University of Tennessee, his dad started a so his dad wrote a book that was like a Hobbit type book.
Okay. Fantasy.
Yeah. And then he built, I guess I'm gonna talk about it, huh? We're already into it, huh?
I guess briefly maybe.
So he built a 40-acre resort in like Sevierville out east, like south of Knoxville. And it's basically like a Hobbit town, like Hobbit themed resort. And I don't know what came out first. So he tried to build it during the pandemic and I think it never got completed, but it's basically like a bootleg Chinese version of Lord of the Rings trying to skirt IP. Like that was the book.
Oh, wow.
It has, here, let me read this. It says, here's the best part. It's only 77 pages. That's why I can't tell what came first. It almost feels like they wanted to make like a Hobbit town. And then they're like, we're going to get sued if this isn't based off of like our lore.
Our version.
So their version of the lore is called ancient lore. That's what they called it. I heard somebody talking about this.
77 pages long.
Yeah, yeah, 77 pages long. Imagine how far into The Hobbit, like 77 pages into any, or Lord of the Rings, nothing's happened, right?
No.
Yeah, that's the whole book.
Yeah, maybe like a birthday party.
Yeah, yeah. About research, right? He has to go do research and he hasn't even come back yet. So 77 pages, the book spans multiple worlds and features, among other fanciful elements, narcissistic yetis, winged dogs, enchanted hula hoops, and an interdimensional portal to death.
Oh,
yeah.
That sounds unfortunate.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. That's how they're enchanted, not getting sued. Yeah, it's a hula hoop. They didn't have that in Lord of the Rings, you know.
They did not.
They did have a very small enchanted hula hoop, come to think of it, actually.
That's fair.
Yes.
Actually, there were multiple ones.
Yeah, yes, yeah. Shh. Only one.
Ring to rule them all in the darkness.
Yes, right, exactly. I'm a fucking nerd. So I think that they wrote the book as an afterthought to get away with their like Hobbitville.
So is it like an amusement park?
Kind of like,
can you stay? Like, do they have homes carved out of the hill?
Yes. And guess what they look like? Exactly. Dude, wait, look this up. Look up ancient lore, Tennessee. And then I'm going to tell you something else to search for. The search for Bokeh's Trek, Bokeh, Outcast to the Inner Earth. I think they changed the name to The Bobbins, which sounds even more Hobbit ripoff.
Bokeh's Trek, what was it?
Bokeh's Trek, Outcast to the Inner Earth.
Bokeh takes an incredible journey and meets many different characters. Ultimately, Bokeh discovers that no matter their differences, they can all live in peace. Yeah. Okay.
Look at The Bobbins.
Oh wow! I'm actually on the ancient lore villages like official website.
Like,
shit is crazy.
How do you write a 77 like page pamphlet basically and manage to get the attention of the Lord of the Rings estate? Like,
married there. They have weddings, corporate events, private parties.
I'm telling you, man, there is a whole segment of the United States, like in the Southeast, that go to that part of the country. That's either their honeymoon or their wedding destination. Like, don't laugh, man. Pigeon Forge and like all those areas. It's like a big deal to get out of like Atlanta and go up there
I get it.
Yeah, I know.
You can go to ancient lore village for your, yeah, it's beautiful.
It's so bad. Let me read this. This is an excerpt from an article writing about it. So, Boyd, that's the guy's name. I keep in mind, this is the current president of the University of Tennessee. Him and his dad did this. Boyd insists ancient lore village and the inner earth have no connection to the Shire or Middle Earth as depicted in the Hobbit or Lord of the Rings trilogies. Yes, Boyd's book features elves, orcs, and a lot of round grass-covered homes. And yes, it's clear Tolkien and Boyd share a mutual distaste for modernity. You won't spot a television or cars within ancient lore village. But beyond that, the similarities end for the most part. They talk about like friendship and stuff like that. Oh, it's also behind the Home Depot and the Walmart on Chapman Highway.
Of course it is. Of course it is.
It's Eastern
what a classy
Tennessee.
Place.
Yeah.
It's classy.
My favorite thing I found when I was going way down two favorite things I found going deep down a rabbit hole on this.
Okay.
His original plan. This is why I think he wrote the book to justify the property.
Okay.
His original plan was to build the world's largest dog park. But they scrapped that idea and did this instead.
Wow. Well, this guy's a dreamer, clearly.
He is.
Like,
he's,
you know.
Oh, yeah. And his son's a piece of shit. The guy at the University of Tennessee. He, do you remember a few years ago, there was news stories about people getting tired of people leaving their dog's shit without picking it up? And there was a company that was saying that they could come up with a way that, like, you could identify the dog's shit.
Jesus, I don't
know. And it was like an app or something. Like, they were, I don't know how they were going to do it. I think they would have to have a specific dog food or something. And like everyone in the neighborhood would feed their dogs something. I don't know. I don't know how. That company made that. And then he copied it and made his own version of it. He's like squatted on like shock collar patents and waited for them to expire and then swoop in on it. He's just, that's his whole way he's made money. He was he wanted to be the governor of Tennessee, and at one point when he was like, I think he was mayor out east somewhere, he made the city of, it was called Lake City, changed their name to Rocky Top to attract attention, because non-college football fans, that's the theme for the Vols is Rocky Top. It's Rocky a whole
Top
thing.
Sounds like bad oral sex.
It does, right? Every time I've heard people say sloppy top, I'm like, sloppy top Tennessee. Okay. All right. Well, are we traditional to play a sound, or should I just hit the fucking button? Play a sound? Play a sound. Nice. You know what? Kitbag sent this in, and a lot of people had been sending this in. I hadn't played it, and I don't know why. Every once in a while, it's just like the 20th person that does it, and I'm like, you know what? I should play that. I don't know why I haven't. This is so catchy, and I think it really fits into, you know, we talk about impulse control and intrusive thoughts all the time.
Mm, sure.
Hey, kids, if you see a cop, just remember your daddy pays a lot in tax, so that cop is your property, and that includes their gun. Check their heat, that's a gun in there.
In there.
Grab the grip, because it's fun to share.
Cause if you pay taxes, then you own that gun.
And it's time to have some fun.
Don't let me in his damn house.
It's chat record.
Yeah, 1, 2, 3. Hey, kids. All right, you ready?
I am ready. Are you recording?
Yes. All right, well, you want to start a show?
Let's start a show.
That podcast is filling your head with garbage.
I got all the ways I just ain't got the man.
No offense taken there.
Well, it sounds like none taken.
Got all the blues, I just ain't got the train. I got all the ways I just ain't got the man. Ask your mama, she'll say the same thing. I got all the ways I just ain't got the man.
Boom.
To the Friday Headlines Roundup edition of None Taken, where every week my good friend Alan brings me a list of headlines. I don't look at them. One by one, we talk them at you. Because I listen to 13 hours of podcast a day, and Alan watches 3 hours of cable news. So you don't have to. Remember, kids, if you miss a little, you miss a lot. Head on over to TrumpGags.com, FungibleNoneTakens.com, and SlickitsDigital.com to help the people that help us and be a part of the show by joining the show's Patreon. Again, that's TrumpGags.com for the Patreon. Alan, I've been waiting to press this button all week.
So, another Friday is upon us. What'll you be doing, Smithers? Something gay, no doubt.
What?
You know, lighthearted, fancy-free. Mothers, lock up your daughters. Smithers is on the town.
Exactly, sir.
Exactly, sir. Well, another Friday's upon us, buddy. How have you been?
I'm good. Another weekend's here. Have a can of beer.
Got green Sierra.
Nice, nice. What is up, everybody? Welcome to the show. Hope you all had a great week. We made it to the weekend. Well, technically, it's Wednesday when we're recording this, but when you're hearing this, you made it to the weekend. So, man, we got some good headlines today.
Good. I'm excited to see them.
Yeah, yeah. Figure we might as well just jump right in, shall we?
Yeah, you got something about the... Oh, good, you're starting with it. Cool.
So, I mean, we kind of covered this because it happened as we were doing the show last night, but there's one thing we didn't have covered. So, Ohio did pass the constitutional amendment that ensures access to abortion before fetal viability. Kentucky Governor Beshear won re-election.
Won!
Yeah, what I said. And then Mississippi Governor Reeves, the Republican, also won re-election. The one thing we didn't talk about yesterday
was the Republican governor, right?
Right. Okay. Right.
That's where they're voting. They ran out of ballots at 9 mostly black precincts.
That's correct.
Yeah. They got new ballots several times during the day, and it was never more than 100 ballots at a time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that seems odd. It's probably poor planning, right? It was probably those mostly black precincts being, you know, disorganized, right?
Oh, wow.
What? I was it's satire. I'm talking about what the people in Mississippi would say. Shit.
It does seem a little odd, yes. That's just early reporting we have.
That's the shit that you sure used to be able to get away with, right? Like, they'd be like, that wasn't us, that was them. It's like, fuck you.
We didn't, we had a...
They had a chance to ask us how many they needed. They didn't. Right. Yeah, right.
All right, so the one thing we didn't cover yesterday was the Democrats winning the full control of Virginia's legislatures. They won the state house and Senate both. God,
it's driving me crazy.
And Governor Youngkin had put a lot of, had invested a lot of his own political capital.
Oh, really? That's like what we talked about, presidents going around trying to get the people they wanted to work with elected.
He had done a lot, and the Republican infrastructure in that state had also invested a ton of money.
Get the phone. Is it Drew?
It is.
Oh, so put him on the phone.
It's been a while. Yo, I'm doing the show, man.
What's up, dude?
Oh, my God. My bad.
No worries. We did the day early. I'll tell you why later. But
is that his dog? Do I hear his dog in the background?
Is Hazel in your background? Is that what we're hearing?
No, she's running up and down these stairs. She's fucking loose cannon right now.
Swore I heard that, yeah. Nice. Oh, man.
Yeah, man.
All right. Well, Dustin says he loves you.
Yeah, I love you.
Tell him I said I love him too. And congratulations.
Oh, thanks. I haven't talked to you. Oh, yeah. He can't hear me. Yeah.
No. He said thank you.
Awesome.
All right, bro. Let me call you back.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Bye. Later. So Youngkin and the Republican committee in Virginia had spent a lot of money on these races. And interestingly, what the Democrat strategy in Virginia was to say, listen, if you allow the Republicans to take control of the legislature and the governor's house, that they are going to enact legislation to restrict abortion access.
Tennessee.
And the Republicans said, yes, that's what we're going to do.
It wasn't on the ballot. They put it on the ballot to try to drive their turnout. Yeah. And all it did was get Democrats out there.
Yes.
So that tells you a lot in a lot of different areas. At first, it was just Kansas, right? Because the first vote was in Kansas in 2022. But now every time that's come up on the ballot, it's driven out more Democrats. Yeah. Or honestly, we say Democrats, it's banning it is not popular with most people.
Right.
Now, it's a weird Venn diagram because a lot of people are like, I don't like it after a certain point, and they'll start to agree with more conservatives, and that's where independents bleed into both camps. But banning it is not popular.
Yeah, Youngkin wanted to enact a six-week ban, which is almost...
Which is a ban, because how would you know?
You wouldn't know.
So,
it's interesting because it's almost like the overturning...
These guys are just in the pocket of big pregnancy tests. They just want people to take more pregnancy tests... They're like, we made a killing off these COVID tests, and then we got to sell these pregnancy tests.
Need some other tests. Yeah. So since the overturning of Roe Wade, it seems like the issue has almost become a wedge issue among the public, and it seems to be driving more people to the left than the right. It's very interesting to watch. But
I think it's a centered position, just to be fair.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. But it's been in the favor of Democrats running. So.
Yeah.
All right, let's hit the next one.
Okay, wait. One that we didn't touch on that I only heard brought up as an afterthought on it. Ohio made weed legal.
That's the next one.
Oh. Ohio voters approved a ballot measure legalizing recreational marijuana in the state, making it the 24th state to pass such a law.
Hey, you can now when you go to Ohio for work, it's
not against the law.
It's incentive.
It's an incentive, yeah.
It makes Ohio seem like less of a shitty place.
You have to drive through Kentucky, Alan. I can get to... Well, shit, I got to go through Kentucky to get to Paducah, too. Well, through Paducah to get to Illinois, too. Yeah, yeah. It's about 2.5 hours any way you cut it for me to get to anything. But you don't have to out here. I mean, they passed the farm bill. You can buy legal... it's not... You won't... I mean, I don't know. Maybe it would fail some kind of a drug test. It's not illegal to buy, consume... have it in, like, there's nothing wrong with anything that's in the farm bill. So it's basically
thrown. It's a special variant though, right? It's a different.
It's THCA. And, I don't know what's happening in here. There's pen ink all over the wall. It's on, I found it on the cover of Mike's book and I was able to rub it out in time. That's not how I'd wanted to say that, but I looked over and it's on the wall too. And I don't know how that happened. Sorry.
I mean, you don't have toddlers running around, so that is odd.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know what I was saying. Oh, it's THCA, which when it's ignited, it becomes THC. It's a huge loophole. literally, any chemist would be like, so wait, if you THCA, if you like consume, that's THC. Like, yeah, it is. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. But you can grow it.
It's working
hemp.
Out.
Yeah, it's a hemp byproduct. And it's locked in. Like Governor Bill Lee, a conservative, Republican he put it in that it needs to be regulated, which I'm all for because all the people that were dying was smoking that popcorn lung shit, like in the vapes and stuff. So it's like,
right.
But like they've institutionalized making sure that it's you know, healthy, healthy, non-toxic, let's say.
Non-toxic. Yeah, I like sure. that. All right. Tournament. Who wins? We got the Ohio marijuana or all the stuff that happened in the elections.
I'm not giving Ohio anything.
Yeah. Elections are bigger.
Elections. Huge elections.
All right. We got a couple of headlines about Israel, obviously.
Okay.
Israel-Hamas war. Israel said its troops are now in the heart of Gaza City. Civilians are fleeing North Gaza at an increased pace. The G7 issued a joint statement condemning the terror attacks by Hamas while calling for urgent action to address the deteriorating humanitarian crisis in Gaza. So reports today say about 50,000 people migrated out of North Gaza, and the IDF says that they've destroyed 130 tunnels so far. There's, I don't know if you've seen any of this video, but there's propaganda footage from Hamas terrorists showing them sort of engaged in guerrilla warfare in these bombed out city.
Essentially, I mean, that's the next phase, right? Is like building to building. I mean, Israel's really going to start seeing equipment and personnel losses in this phase, right?
Right. They're shooting RPGs at them as well as, you know, machine guns, et cetera.
Yeah. All the stuff that made St. Javelin a popular Instagram account.
Sure. Yeah.
When it was.
Yeah. I want you to hit the next one. It's kind of tied in.
Okay. Prime Minister Netanyahu, or the way I can't, there's some guy on MSNBC that said Netanyahu.
Netanyahu.
I can't even make my mouth make the sound the way he said it. Netanyahu. Prime Minister Netanyahu said Israel will have overall security responsibility for Gaza for an indefinite period after the Israeli-Hamas war during an ABC interview. So when basically all the reporting I've seen on this basically conflates that to how things were prior to them leaving in 06.
So yeah, that sounds right, man. When Hamas took over.
Yeah. So it will go from a de facto police state. We're not police state, but
essentially what they want to do is set it up to be similar to the West Bank, where they have, in fact, he is saying that he wants the Palestinian Authority to take over, but Israel would provide security. And then
the PA is not even effective in the West Bank, though.
They're not.
I mean, they're
well, and people don't trust them because they're seen as making too many concessions to the Israelis.
Right.
The Israelis are allowed to go and come as they please into the West Bank. And that would likely be the scenario here as well. A lot of just alarm, like red flags going off when he said that, because it said indefinite period, which is like what?
Yeah,
that's a forever war, essentially. Yeah. And so people are concerned about that.
Well, it's really good for his government, though.
Yeah, of course it is. Of course it is. We have the U.S. sort of respond to that with Blinken coming out and saying, look, we're trying to negotiate some of these humanitarian pauses. We don't want to see Israel occupy the Strip. And so we're going to work towards figuring out some sort of peace. But they also said, obviously, Hamas has to go. So there has to be some other sort of infrastructure or some sort of government to manage that place. And we talked about it before, but none of the nearby countries want to be involved in that, really.
Right.
So the only option they really have is to try and prop up the PA and have them take over. But again, the people aren't very trustful of them. So.
And what happens when the PA becomes more affiliated with, is it like Lions Brigade that's in West Bank? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, then it's just going to be the same thing where they propped up Hamas. They propped up someone that ended up being,
Yeah, and the whole thing is there's Israeli's viewpoint is we got to get Hamas out of here. We can never allow Hamas to continue. And so that's going to take it's very difficult fighting for them to try and eliminate them. And then the vacuum created by those people leaving just allows the options for other bad actors to rise up.
What people leaving? The civilians leaving?
Hamas
leaving. Oh, right.
Yeah. Or being destroyed.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, right. But if you could remove the desire for people to return to those groups, but that's what's not going to happen.
That's the problem.
Somebody responded to, and I hate to put you on the spot with this because I'm not editing this shit. Somebody said in response to that video where the guy compared Hamas and Palestine to an illness, and that when people are ill, they, you give them fluids, you give them rest, nourishment for the body. And they said, that's a good analogy, but, a lot of people use the analogy of a cancer.
Oh, wow.
And,
I guess you could go both ways with that.
I mean, I think that's the way Israel's looking at it. They're treating it like, let's give them some fucking chemo and hopefully it doesn't kill the patient, right?
That's a very good analogy, actually. Yes, yeah. I would agree. Yeah.
So it's kind of the chemo versus what pieces let the body repair itself, which, I mean, at some point you're going to have to get to the point where you're not warring with the civilians that live there, right? That's ideally.
Yeah, at some point that has to happen.
That happens more effectively when you're planning for that while you're committing your warring, right? And it's just not happening right now because we can't even talk about a humanitarian pause.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. All right. So, which do we think is the bigger deal? I tend to think that it's the overall security responsibility for an indefinite period.
Yeah, I think so too. Okay. Okay. Why don't you get this next one? I'll figure out what I'm writing down.
The House voted 234 to 188 to censure Representative Rashida Tlaib.
That kind of surprised me.
Yeah, I think about 20 Democrats joined the Republicans. A few Republicans abstained. For promoting false narratives and calling for the destruction of the state of Israel.
You know, I saw a lot of videos showing, I want to let you finish, I apologize. I saw a lot of people showing videos of her, like, trying to convince them not to. You know, she's like, I'm the only Palestinian in the House. Mm-hmm. And I didn't see a lot of videos of the things she said that got her censored.
Okay. So, first of all, MTG tried to do this earlier last week.
Right, we talked about it last week.
Hers fell through. This was another another congressperson attempted to have her censured, and the House did vote to do so. This is essentially there's no like weight behind this. Nothing happens to her. She doesn't get fined. She doesn't get removed from committees or anything like that. Hmm. It's just kind of a bad look, right? Because your colleagues essentially said, like, we don't like what you just did.
Okay.
And even having Democrats cross the aisle and agree with it, kind of a big deal. So what she said in her tweet was she quoted, I don't even think she quoted, I think she had video of protesters saying it. There's a specific line. It's from the river to the sea.
And then it's either Palestine will be free or Palestine will be Jew free.
Right. So
it depends if that's the type of protest you're at. Or not.
I guess that that specific phrase has been used as a way to say that Israel should not exist. Mm-hmm. Because from the river to the sea, it should all be Palestine.
Yeah.
So that's the entire area. She's saying that's not what she was implying when she posted that video.
Wait, that was the extent of her anti.
Yeah, I mean, she's done other things. She has died with
She comes across as very unlikable to me. But I haven't. Like, that's fine. People can be unlikable. I mean, I think I have a bigger problem with Marjorie than her.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that she is not afraid of confrontation and sometimes feels it's necessary to confront these issues and is willing to put herself out there and do that in a way that other people in the House are not.
Is she more divisive in those tactics?
Well, I think obviously she has a connection to that place and those people. So it's.
I feel like that doesn't like that when that's her big argument to be like, I'm the only Palestinian in the House. You can't kick me out. It's like, look, you don't get to be here just because of that. I would imagine it would be really effective if somebody was like, by the way, we hate sending the only Palestinian voice out of here, but you know, we don't want to see you talk.
That's
like
not
this.
An argument for her. To be able to stay. But yeah, she is controversial, and I think she doesn't mind that. She's willing to step in it and say what she thinks.
That honestly doesn't seem like a very, it's certainly not innocuous, but that it's hard to believe that would be the thing that got somebody censored. Haven't they only censored like 6 people in the history of the House?
Yeah, they just did, what's his name for the going after Trump? Anyways, doesn't matter.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a very rare occasion. But again, it carries no weight with it. It's just saying.
So if it carries no weight, then I guess who cares?
I mean,
why not vote for it if it carries no weight?
Because you're coming down on the side of the issue. You're saying, look, I don't agree with what you said. I don't think what you said was cool. That one of the things that they've done before is to force the person who's been censored to like stand on the House floor and hear somebody read off sort of the censure document. Okay. They did not do that to her this time. So she didn't have to do that.
Like to shame them?
Oh, like Game of Thrones where she had to walk down the street naked kind
shame,
of thing.
Shame.
Yeah, exactly. Hmm. Shame, shame. Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
All right. NATO, that one?
Yeah.
NATO announced the suspension. This is stupid. There's no point in this fucking headline. The NATO announced that the suspension of the Treaty of Conventional Armed Forces in Europe, which prevented Cold War era rivals from massing forces near mutual borders, shortly after Russia withdrew from the treaty. That's one way of reporting that. Or you could mention that this treaty became null and void when we built a base in Romania and Hungary, Romania and somewhere else, in like 2007. And they're always temporary bases, just like the temporary bases that are getting bombed in Syria right now. So when those bases got built, we voided the treaty, and that was 2007. And so Russia just recently said, like, okay, we're going to completely, you know, we're going to fill out the paperwork to commit our side to leaving this. It's there's no, there's not. And
so officially we hadn't withdrawn from the treaty officially.
Yeah, but we were doing the things that were
not following.
Yeah. And it was things like you can't have more than like a certain number of helicopters, a certain number of tanks, a certain number of troops in one country.
Troops, weapons amassed near a border.
Yeah.
Interestingly, I think the one thing I thought was interesting about this was that Germany chose not to withdraw and said, look, we think that we should still have this. And, you know, the U.S. said, with Russia pulling out of it, there's no point in staying in it. You know, what's the point? And Germany was like, no, I think it is a better thing that we stay in this and we don't cross these lines. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I don't understand why not stay in it and just continue to violate it.
Right. Yeah, it's odd.
Yeah.
So this marks a lot of treaties between what was the former Soviet Union and Russia and the U.S. and the broader West that don't exist anymore. Nuclear proliferation treaties, you know, how many long-range, short-range missiles you could have, all that stuff. We pulled out of – there's almost no treaties left.
Yeah.
So there is none of that framework that tried to – sort of keep this uneasy peace exists anymore. So that's a little bit concerning.
It is. This one isn't the one to start caring for, though.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I agree. It was just one more thing that fell off.
Yeah, and it's a little bit of that, like, boil a frog thing. Like, the temperature just keeps going up. Yeah, this is just another notch in the temperature. Yeah.
Which one do you think is the bigger deal?
I just said that's not a big deal, but I don't care about the House censorship either.
Okay, we'll take this one as a bigger deal then.
Okay, NATO. All right. Okay. Your turn.
Yeah, this is pretty cool. Okay. Doctors restored the ability to walk in an advanced Parkinson's patient for the first time using an experimental spine implant. The technology is still in early development. So this individual was suffering from Parkinson's. He claimed that, you know, he could barely, you know, he couldn't get downstairs. He couldn't get in an elevator. He was falling like multiple times a day. It was pretty bad. And so they implanted this thing in his spine, and essentially what it does is it inserts like electrical pulses into your nerves. And so it enables your nerves, the signal coming from your brain telling your nerves what to do, it enables that signal to essentially be stronger and more fluid, more smooth, as opposed to choppy. So
which
you don't
is
have
what you get from Parkinson's.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. So now this guy, he says he's
it's like
he
your nerve system having a stutter.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So now he says he walks down to the park and walks like 6 miles a day.
Shut up. Not even a little bit.
It's a lot, dude.
Whoa.
And you can see there's a video of him. You can see him just like walking across the room. You can't really tell. He looks like a normal person walking across the room.
This is Star Wars shit.
This is pretty impressive stuff. So this is the first guy that they've tried this on, and it's been successful. So we'll see. Obviously, they're expanding it to, I think, 6 more people this year. They're also experimenting with similar type technology in the brainstem itself. This is really cool stuff. I mean, if we can help people have a more, you know, fulfilled life who are afflicted with these kind of diseases, that's a huge deal, I think.
And now, I know overall, it's not the same thing, but I mean, it kind of gives me hope for things like ALS and Alzheimer's.
Agreed.
Alzheimer's probably even more different, but yeah. Wow. That's cool, man. Wow. I thought it would be one of those things where it's like, yeah, he's really clumsy, but he can walk.
No, it's significant.
That's cool.
Improvement.
That's cool.
Yeah. Now, Parkinson's is a degenerative disease. It continues to get worse and worse. So unclear like how long it's going to have this effect on him. But as of now, it's working great. So
that's great. Well, I mean, it says advanced. I mean, it wasn't like he was in great shape to start with. You know?
Right. No, not at all. Not at all.
Elon Musk, artificial intelligence venture. Great job putting your tech headlines together. I see that. Elon Musk, artificial intelligence venture, XAI. Wasn't that a fucking Scion model? That was like the two-door car. Was the X
was it X2B or something like that?
No, that's the box one.
X4TI.
XAI, I think, was one. Look up Scion XAI while I talk.
Okay.
Please. That doesn't spell anything perverted. He always likes it when it like spells sex or something, right? Like space sex.
Yeah. XA.
XA. Okay. All right. Elon Musk artificial intelligence venture XAI released its first chatbot named Grok. I don't know what that's a reference to. It was probably some nerd shit. To a limited number of users, the firm said it outperformed models like ChatGPT 3.5, but underperformed top models like ChatGPT 4.
So Grok is a word from a science fiction book. And there's lots of sort of like, it's supposed to be like a Martian word. And they didn't really, you know how like sometimes Douglas Adams would put words in his books that just didn't really have, you kind of had to understand what they were by context.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So it's kind of like that. So what they've said about this XAI is that it's intended to be more like a little bit more cheeky, I guess,
okay,
of a chatbot, and more willing to, so Elon doesn't want it to be politically correct.
Oh, so, cool.
So it's supposed to be less politically correct.
Yeah.
It's also supposed to be sort of sarcastic. One of the examples I saw was somebody asked it how to make homemade cocaine, and its response was, sure, I'll show you how to make homemade cocaine because that's something I would do. And that was it. That was its response. So I didn't even realize.
I like the movies with the sassy AIs, like the sassy robots.
I do too. I don't know. It's interesting. They're only allowing limited people to use it right now. You have to get like on a wait list to have access to it. And then eventually they're going to introduce it into the wild. Comparatively speaking, though, to like earlier iterations of ChatGPT, it does seem to get more things right. Partly because it has access to all of Twitter's data.
Uh-huh. But didn't they used to have access to Twitter when they were training ChatGPT?
I believe ChatGPT did not have access to Twitter.
Okay.
I think it was like Facebook, Instagram, like generally, but not Twitter.
Okay.
So
Twitter's
the text one.
I would think they would have got, yeah.
They maintained that data as proprietary and didn't allow that to happen. So, yeah, interesting. All right, which is the bigger story? I think it's the Parkinson's.
I think it's the Parkinson's one. However, as someone who's played around with some of them chatbots and gotten frustrated when they won't type certain things, I think it is kind of fun that they're like, you know.
Yeah. There's ways that could go terribly wrong. So we'll have to see if that happens or not.
It's not going to not happen just because you limit it. Like the people that want to do something, but like we're just going to get better at picking up bullshit. Hopefully.
God,
when has that happened so far? Yeah. Okay. So what'd you say? Parkies?
Parkies. Yeah.
Okay. I hope, Michael J. Fox lives long enough to, what is happening? This whole pen's falling apart. What the fuck?
Maybe that's why
it's all over my hand.
Shit.
Ah, I love this pen. It's the Precise V5. You know the.
Oh, those are good pens. I like those. Yeah,
I know. I'll get a pack. Okay. Do you want to talk?
Sure. WeWork filed for
this
chapter.
This blew my mind. I remember when they did their valuation or whatever, and it was like some absurd number. And I was like, how can this company be worth this much? There's no way they're actually, no, they can't be worth that much. And turns out they
aren't anymore.
Yeah.
They filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection as the co-working giant seeks to continue operations while it figures out a plan to reduce its massive debt load. The firm, once valued at $47 billion, has a most recent market cap of $45 million. So to your point, that's a massive drop. They tried to go public a few years ago and were unsuccessful.
Did you say 45 million?
Yes.
Whoa.
And were unsuccessful. Then they eventually did. They just did a stock buyback of 40-1. So you got one share for 40 shares. And to try and boost the stock price, because you have to be trading over $1 a share to trade on NYSE. And they dropped.
So that's how they got their price up?
Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah, they're still in rough shape. So obviously with the crash of commercial real estate post-pandemic, which is what they did essentially, they allowed people that were gig workers or whatever to have office space in these buildings. And that just fell off a cliff. And so all these investments that they had made just became worthless, essentially.
Right. Became liabilities because people didn't want to be in an office. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And not only that, they put a lot of TI work. They were basically a TI investment. Like, mm-hmm. Like, that was their whole operation. They'd go into buildings and just do huge TI projects and just have really, really nice workspaces. If you're
nice spaces,
yeah. And then now someone's going to own everything they did for like nothing. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what, 1/1000th of their original price. Am I doing math right? 47 million to 45 billion.
Yeah.
Is that
45 million to 47 million.
Oh my God, dude.
That's an order of magnitude. That's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. So big deal. We're seeing a lot of similar.
But that was something that people space. Were incentivized to do because money was said to be free. So you could be like, okay, I'll take out a huge loan and not make anything. I'll just make something that exists nicer so that people with expendable income will spend it on this, or people that are spending money in this category will spend more on it. And then when an event happened that, you know, made things scarce and then made that situation change, now you're on the hook for all of that money that you thought was just going to be free.
Essentially, they got the rug pulled out from under them.
But that's what, like, that's what people like me argue about. Like I get the intention of a central bank, but when you give the impression that money has this value and you don't let it change over like a marketplace of that value establishing it, then you incentivize these huge overreach ventures. And that is literally the boom bust cycle. So when people say like capitalism's bad, boom bust cycle, blah, 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 they're talking about a central bank economy. Like, these are the facts of a central bank account. Before that, you'd have bank runs and shit like that. And that's a problem with banking. I don't have a solution for that. You're right. But
I mean, similar to what happened in 2008 with the financial crisis.
Yeah.
Which is why you sent me a Instagram with that guy who kind of found all that out.
I didn't think it'd work for the show. What was he even saying on there? That the U.S. was a Ponzi scheme?
Yeah. Essentially because our debt load is so high that we're just sort of paying into the system to keep it moving.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Like Social Security.
Yeah. All right, you got the next one.
A federal jury found FTX. We already said this last week on the show. Oops. Silly goose.
Okay.
Okay. Well, look at, we got this lonely boy down here. Why don't we say that?
That's right. Yeah, delete that one.
Okay. The U.S. economy added 150,000 jobs in October. Sounds like a lot, but they were expecting 170,000. Mm-hmm. And slowing from 297,000 in September. So it's a slow time of year for hiring, you know. The unemployment rate rose to 3.9% from 3.8%, and wages grew 4.1% from a year ago, which may or may not be keeping up with inflation. Who knows anymore?
It barely is. So essentially, the overall consensus of the market is that there's only a 10% chance, based on this and other current economic news, that the Fed would raise rates again in its next meeting in December. The markets reacted pretty positively to that, because perhaps it seems like maybe inflation will be on the downward side.
And you know, the economies run off of predictability, stability, which is why many markets, most people that are paying attention to that, weren't pleased with Trump. And, you know, I sat in on a conference call I shouldn't have been on where people were like, we're expecting now that Biden's been elected at least some stability. So regardless of your politics here, with the results of the new election, we should be able to have a little bit more faith in our investments.
Indeed. All right. What do we have as the winner here?
I think the WeWork one, actually. I think
it's a bigger deal. Okay. I don't feel strongly either way. So
yeah, I like that one. I got to find a new pen. Okay, WeWork. Okay, I sent you a couple of in other news. One that I couldn't open, and then others that I just didn't care to read. I like it when you read it.
Yeah. Should we do the final terminant before this, or one of these?
Three, four, five. We need one more.
Okay, all right.
And then we're going to have three in the second round. Good God. Okay, skip WeWork. Okay, elections versus park. What's park mean?
Versus park.
I don't know. I wrote down park.
It would have been...
Oh, Parkinson's.
Parkinson's.
Okay. That's better than the elections or the elections. That's a tough bet.
A tough one. Yeah. What's your leaning?
I need more on the Parkinson's. I think the elections are, I think we've got more to run with on the elections.
I agree. Okay.
And it affects, no, didn't say that. Gaza versus NATO. I said the NATO story doesn't matter. So Gaza versus the elections. I'm tired of Gaza winning, Alan. I'm going elections.
Let's do elections.
All right. American elections win the news of the week. Yay. They were surprising. It even made Kamala come out and give a competent speech. I don't know if you heard that.
I did.
I saw it and I was like, oh my God, she's walking towards the microphone. Like, it's a nice dramatic panning shot. And then she just went on to say like good speaking. Yeah, and I was just like, I hate it when she does that. She almost never does that.
All right. In other news,
she didn't even laugh funny in it.
The first article here is from the Washington Post. Headline is Trump and Allies Plot Revenge, Justice Department Control in a Second Term.
This is the WAPO article that was about what I was talking about at the end of the last show. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so essentially he wants to go after former people that worked for him that turned on him, like Milley, like Barr, his former lawyer, Cobb, all of those people. He wants to essentially, he's talking about invoking the Insurrection Act on his first day in, so that because he assumes there'll be, or they assume there'll be protests if he gets elected, so that they could control, any protests.
So how does that work? Troops. Like, is it like the second you're in charge, you've done it, or you somehow coordinate it while you're the office of president elect?
Well, typically they have meetings with, you know, people, other government entities, a transition team, so they know what's happening. I don't know. There'll be a lot of pushback, I think, to this if he attempts to do it. So, but pretty wild. I mean, essentially turning the U.S. into a banana republic, if that's what we're going to do.
Are you familiar with the phrase Tenure of Office Act?
No.
It's what got Andy Johnson impeached. He was like, I can fire these people if I fucking want. Basically, like what was questionable about firing Comey and other things. So basically, the Tenure of Office Act is what keeps most of these people from being fired when you have a potential
transition
tyrant, That's what I was going to say. And so, I mean, these would all be violations of the Tenure of Office Act were it not for the fact that they've got, you know, the Heritage Foundation and all these people coming up, spending 4 years thinking of legal theory that they can consider airtight to accomplish this. Which is why it's more concerning than when they sort of punted in November of 2020 and came up with the shit they're all going to, you know, court over right now.
Right.
Yeah, they've got a plan now, and it will be, if it's been arguable that everything Trump did after the last election and through January 6th was somehow legally fine, which apparently you have lawyers that can say that, if that's an argument, they have something now that would be like, shit, I don't know, you could even argue with that. You might hate it, but you're going to have to say that they came up with something. You know, there's loopholes in this shit and we don't know what it is. You know, I was actually hoping, did they talk about that in more detail in the article? Like what levers they intend to use?
No, they don't really cover that. They do talk about some of the responses from people that he's alleged to be planning to go after, including Barr, who said that Trump's a very petty individual who will always put his interests ahead of the country's. And then I'm quivering in my boots and obviously, sarcastic way. Cobb, his former lawyer, said
Ty Cobb, Trump, the baseball player.
Not the baseball player,
but it is Ty Cobb.
It is Ty Cobb.
It's not Honus Wagner.
No.
Okay.
He said Trump himself is more likely to rot in jail than anyone on his alleged list.
Oh.
So they're the people who are.
He's a time traveler, Alan. He knows he's going to get away with this. He's like, I've seen all the permutations, like. You know, he probably went back into the past, set up a new time machine. He's going to have somebody show up the day that he's going to go to jail and break him out. I've seen Bill and Ted.
I've seen that as well.
Remember the trash can.
The people that he's planning to go against don't seem all that concerned about that happening. So there we go. All right. Minnesota Supreme Court blocks bid to remove Trump.
Wait, you seem pretty dismissive of this 2025 thing.
Actually, I'm not as concerned about him going after people like Milley or Barr or Cobb. I am more concerned about if he attempts to invoke the Insurrection Act and then have federal
break up like protests, police, arrest people,
break up protests, that kind of thing. Yeah. That gets scary, man.
There was nothing in the article that assuaged any fears on that. Sometimes they kind of go like, yeah, you might be worried, but like,
no, it did not.
Okay.
Did not.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
This Minnesota story is fucking wild. Tell me about this. I did not expect this. And I was like, well, Alan, read this.
So Minnesota Supreme Court blocks bid to remove Trump from primary ballot in the 14th Amendment challenge. We've talked about this on the show. Article 3 of the 14th Amendment post the Civil War about, which states that if you commit an insurrection or provide aid and comfort to those who attempt to, having been formally sworn to protect the Constitution, that you were not allowed to be in public office again. So the court struck this down in a very narrow way. They said that there's nothing in the Constitution that prevents the RNC.
A dog from being the president. No. I love that movie.
Nothing, well, actually, so kind of. So there's nothing in
the Constitution rules?
That prevents any political party. You don't have to be the RNC or the DNC. You can be anybody. There's nothing that prevents a political party putting somebody on the ballot who is not eligible.
Right. Serve. Oh, that's what I said. And then, but the other side of that is come counting time, you have to be like, oh, we seem to have a lot of votes for this guy that can't be president.
So the court said that they were not going to remove him from the ballot from the primaries. However, if he won the primaries and would be on the ballot in the actual election, that they could bring this case back.
They just didn't want to answer the fucking question. That's bullshit.
Wait, it does seem like a loophole.
Wait, that's why would it be any different in the primaries or in the general?
Because if you want to write Mickey Mouse in your ballot, or
well, then you can do that. But
you can do that.
But why would they put someone on their ballot who they have? They are being asked, is this guy eligible or not? And they won't say yes or no. They said, we'll talk about it later. That's fucking dereliction of your fucking job.
They punted. I mean, it's not.
Dude, am I failing to express that as well as I want to? I can't like gauge how well
I understand it. I understand what you're saying. It's not uncommon that we see courts do that kind of thing.
They should get replaced. Like, make a fucking decision.
So all they said was, feel free to bring it back to the court if he's actually on the ballot.
I'm sorry. There's no difference between the primary.
Doesn't it feel like they would be an activist court if they decided to make a decision where there really was no conflict legally yet?
No, they're being asked if they believe that what happened was okay. Oh,
rises right. To that level.
So here, no. Here's what I would have been fine with them saying.
Yeah.
Come back to us after he's been convicted.
All they said was come back to us after he's actually won the primary.
That's
in Minnesota.
Do you print names out for the primary? That's the whole point of this, right? Is his name going to be on the ballot for the primary?
Yes.
Okay. If that argument means people can still write it in, so why not print it out? Which is the same argument for not printing it out in the general. I'd go to the general and save some time. It's just liberty, liberty, liberty in my head all fucking day. That shouldn't matter. Okay, I would accept them saying, let's wait and see if he actually has been convicted of doing that thing that you described, 14, section 3 or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are they being asked to decide if that's what he did?
And they're being asked to decide if he can be removed from the primary ballot based on what he did. And they're saying, it doesn't matter, there's no standing here because you're allowed to put somebody on the ballot that's ineligible to serve.
Well, then wouldn't that be true in the general?
No, because once you are actually have won a primary, then you're on a ballot you couldn't put somebody on an actual ballot who is ineligible to serve.
I fail to see the difference between those two ballots.
They are, it's a very, they're slicing hairs here, but I understand it. It makes sense.
All right. Yeah. I mean, I understand the activist court part of it.
Right. They don't want to come off as that.
But again, you're not. But then because people's argument for that is, you're depriving the voters of their voice. No, you're not. You're depriving the person that broke the law of getting to hold higher office. You're affecting exactly one person.
Mm-hmm.
You can write in someone who's not eligible, but they did something that made them ineligible. Okay.
That's right.
All right.
All right. Let's move on.
Retarded. It makes the process. It's like, in Oklahoma's game, I don't come on here and rant about my team losing, but in Oklahoma's game, they tackled our receiver while he was trying to catch the ball in the end zone. Clear pass interference, no call. And it's like, if you're going to have these rules, like enforce them. If you don't, you're like I can get over losing the football game, but these players are playing their ass off. Both teams looked really good. Too bad we'll never know who won that game. Like, do you get what I mean by that? And it makes you not want to invest in watching it the next time too. And that's sports. Like, this is fucking what matters. Like, why treat this seriously if they're like, sure, go ahead, put them on there. I don't know. We'll think about it later.
Yeah, I didn't see that game, so I don't know. Did they explain why they
didn't call it?
They just didn't call it.
Yeah.
That seems different to me.
Oh, I see what you did there, you son of a bitch.
Okay. Right. Let's move on.
Right.
Nashville police say seven on administrative assignment after purported leak of Christian school shooter's manifesto. So this was the shooting that happened at the school there in Nashville. Covenant. A couple of months ago. Yeah, Covenant. A couple of months ago. And so there was reporting that this the shooter had multiple journals and was, you know, dealing with some mental stuff. So a couple pages of these journals have now leaked. And so
I haven't looked at them. Did you?
I did not. No. Yeah. They are taking these people and putting them on administrative leave. They're saying it's not punitive. They're not punishing them. They just kind of have to investigate and see what happened first.
Punitary was my nickname before puberty.
Is that even the right word? Punitive, I guess, is the right word.
It's 9/11, Alan. Make a wish.
Oh, it is 9/11. How about that? Isn't that something? Yeah. I lost my train of
punitary. It's not punitary.
Punitive. So they're just investigating. Currently, a Nashville PD is saying that the documents did not come from them. Unclear where they're saying they came from, but their initial statement is that they were not leaked by their department. But they're investigating that.
So terrible person, human douchebag, Steven Crowder. He's the one that released these clearly for attention. If it was anybody who was less attention seeking, I would be more sympathetic to not assign that. I don't have any problem jumping to conclusions with him. You see that video of him screaming at his wife, by the way, pregnant wife.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the whole video. I was like, "What? I normally don't like getting into those personal life things, but I was just like, wow, this is a terrible person. Unbelievable. Man. Anyway,
he's an asshole.
Yeah, he is. My first introduction to him, he was a guest on Rogan like fucking 8 years ago now, probably. And I remember I was working an overnight and I was like, I don't think I'm even going to listen to this episode anymore, because he started talking about how he's into women that have, he was talking about the porn he likes. And he's like, I like big, big pendulous boobs. I remember him saying pendulous and breasts. And I just felt ill to myself.
Yeah, it sounds icky.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, what kind of taste does this guy have? I'm not going to listen to him, you know.
He's big in the Alex Jones universe, but
yeah. Yeah, I know. He's the prove me wrong guy with a mug of coffee. Sure, he's had his moments. But so that's the guy that released this. He said that somebody took pictures with their cell phone of it, I believe. And he's like, you know, I'll go to jail before I admit who did this.
The sources.
Yeah, yeah. So let's get to like the actual, probably the brass tacks of this is, why shouldn't this be released? And I think that you can ask that question innocuously, like I just intended, or you can ask that question like really shittily, right? I've seen different versions of that online. There's the, you know, they with people with an agenda. And then you see the same agenda from the people arguing back against it, saying like, you know, well, these parents don't need to suffer through it again to see this. And it's just like, I don't know, man, like it's a weird thing to consider, because we know intimate details of like famous murder cases from 15 years ago, 25 years ago, 30 years ago, right? Like at what point can we look at this journal? I don't understand why we can't look at it. I do think that it's terrible that the family of the victims would have to relive it again when people release it, you know, for publicity stunts, but it being available to the public to read, I feel like I want to know, like, and I'll let you talk in a second. I'm sorry. I feel like there's reason to believe, at least from insinuation, that, you know, this person was not justified in their actions, but I would like to know if they had something out for the people they went after and what those things are, given the other stories in the media of other similar institutions, let's say.
So I think that I agree with you about, you know, not wanting the families to have to deal with this, but I think there's a larger reason not to release this to the public. Oh. And that is the same reason that we don't typically release shooters' names. We don't typically show,
but we do.
No, we do. We don't. We often don't show their face on the news. We don't. So the reason for that is because
copycats, things like that. But what you're saying is a very new phenomenon. Like people, maybe recently we've stopped doing it as much, but that's not true. It's been a complaint that we don't hold back that
information. I think there is a concern that we would, in some people's eyes, we were glorifying that person, and other people who have similar mental tendencies seeing that and saying, oh, I can do the same thing and then get my message out to the world, my manifesto, et cetera. And so we don't want to incentivize that behavior, and that's why we don't typically release it. That would be my pushback.
Okay, so while I understand that, I think that's the noble reasons, justified reasons. I 100%, I see the good intentions to that. I'm probably mistaken in this, but I think that the public should be able to discern that themselves, not have local police and law enforcement make that decision about every case. And this is a huge example of it, but where do you draw that line?
The documents were out there, I wouldn't purposely read them. And
I don't know if I want to either.
But I wouldn't give any details about them on the show either, because I don't want to incentivize that behavior. And there are individuals.
See, here's where I think you might be wrong. What if we were talking about a 25-year-old story, and this is not this story, this is just a hypothetical, right? Mm-hmm. What if there was a story from 1995 where somebody shot a teacher and a student, and say the teacher and the student had been abusing them or whatever, you know, something outside of like, ooh, they bullied me. And I was mad and I'm mentally ill. Like, so far we have the police and the parents that have read this saying that this is the ranting of a madman. I'm sorry. I would like to know. I would like to read that and find out, oh, this is a completely unhinged, insane person that committed a despicable act of violence. That's going to be true either way. But I feel like if this was a story from 1995 that I just described, we would just know all that. And we'd be like, wow, did you know that that story that was this was actually this? Oh, interesting. So it's not what I thought it was. Like, I don't know. I don't think that's going to inspire somebody to go out and do that. This is about an individual that did something wrong. And I'd like to know what that individual had going through their mind, enough that what they wrote down, at least. It wouldn't justify anything.
I mean, so for that argument to work, you have to, you're essentially humanizing this person that committed these atrocities because you're saying, well, they had motivation to shoot up the school.
No. I'm just saying they are a human. I'm not humanizing them. I don't know what you mean by that. Like, should I dehumanize
them? Well, you're saying
them?
You want to understand their motives.
Yeah. It doesn't justify anything.
They committed a heinous act. What is there to justify?
Well, I don't know. When it's a hate crime and it's about, you know, look at these anti-Semitic rants, we talk about that.
Sure.
We're not doing that here. And maybe there isn't one, but I wouldn't know that because they're not telling us.
Okay. I could see that, but I think...
I mean, they make a big deal when it was, he wanted to go kill black people. Look at his Facebook posts, mm-hmm. right? I would like to hear what this person had in mind. We seem to care when it's that story, and I'm not doing that comparison because that's lazy. But like, if I must to defend why I think it's worth hearing, I can give you two examples of, and I just did, and the Asian hate one, right? They came up with right. all his
and
reasons.
The synagogue
that,
one.
The Atlanta shootings. It turned out to not even be that, by the way.
The massage parlor one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's also the synagogue.
Yes. Well. Right. Yeah. And guess why you know that? Because they talked about it. They were,
but that's not because
it was because they were public posts, right?
It was public posts, and yeah. also,
but we don't knew, like we say
we knew where it happened.
Yeah, but we can say, well, we know where this happened.
Yeah, but the context for where it happened is different because it happened at a synagogue. It happened at an Asian massage parlor. Like obviously that creates context that a regular school shooting does not.
This happened at a Christian school. In
yeah, I
area.
Understand that. So
we just had the Southern
context.
Baptist Council or whatever it is. And there's a huge scandal that just got swept under the rug. It was as big as the Catholic Church and nobody cared.
Well, there was something happened down in Ventura County, today as well with, somebody dying from blunt force trauma, unclear as to what happened, but they're saying that perhaps there was some anti-Semitic rhetoric happening.
That was the one I was talking about. That was that okay. old man that got killed. I don't know. I think it's worth, I would worry about copycats, yes, but you're asking me to, oh, thank you, local law enforcement. I trust your judgment implicitly. Why would I ever be suspicious that you're, you know, not sharing something that I don't know. Like,
you're not willing to trust the public institution. to make that judgment.
Not only am I not willing to trust a public institution, I am willing off principles to erroneously trust people to make their own damn judgment over it. And I'm fine making that mistake because I'd rather live in that free society. And I'll start repeating myself.
I guess the counterfactual is, what if you release that information from the 1995 incident that is imaginary, and then you have a person present day see that information and then say, well, I want that same level of notoriety if I complete this heinous
crime. That doesn't happen unless you're unwell, and we should be doing more to help people that are this unwell.
I agree, but that it happens.
Yeah, but instead, what are we going to do? We're going to put mental health checks as a part of gun ownership, which means men that have questionable health that would rather own a gun than fix their mental health are going to own guns and not get their mind checked out, because if they do, it'll be on paper and they won't be allowed to own one, right?
Yeah, did you see that
guy... move the goalpost? Sorry.
Yeah, no, the guy that committed the shooting...
In Maine? He was a firearm instructor.
Yeah, not only that, but he had gone to get like a silencer or something at a gun store. And there was a question on the forum that asked if he had been in like a mental institution the last year recently or whatever it was. And he answered honestly and said he had. And then the owners were like, okay, well, we can't sell you this if that's the truth. And he said, okay. And he left.
Wow.
But he still had other weapons already, previously purchased. So, yeah, that's pretty wild.
My buddy got denied here in Tennessee, and it's because when he was a minor, he had committed some, felony or something that got dropped down to a misdemeanor. It got in the book as a misdemeanor. Somebody filled out the paperwork as other, and because of that, he can't buy his gun in Tennessee. And now he's got to get somebody in California to go find some old document from, 1997. And why would they fucking care, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, wow. Yeah.
That's wild. All right. Nobody enough wins. Of that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's talk about
media diet.
Okay. What have you been watching? I'm excited.
Okay. So I watched a cool, I guess you call it a short film. It's called
Roald Dahl movies, right?
Yeah.
Is it Ronald Dahl?
Ronald Dahl. Yeah.
Ronald?
Yeah. He's the guy that wrote.
It can't be Ronald. Isn't it?
Is it Roald?
I thought it was Roald Gold. Hey, you know that song where it's top road diamond and the bottom row is gold. When I first heard that, I thought it was I ate a whole top ramen and a bowl of Roald Gold, because the Roald Gold pretzels.
Yes. It's Roald Dahl.
I'm so white.
You're correct.
So just for the record, it was the Grill song, right? And he's like, I got the top row diamond and the bottom rose gold, I think, right?
Yes, that's right.
Then I thought it was rose gold. I don't think it's rose gold.
Oh, God.
Okay. Sorry.
All right. Roald Dahl. It's hard to say that name. Directed by Wes Anderson. It's about it's less than an hour long. It's called The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar. And it's told, it's almost like a play more than a film.
Okay.
It's like they filmed the play because there's narration. The characters actually narrate themselves.
And is it on one set that keeps changing kind of?
Yes.
Like that.
One set that keeps changing. The only trick that they do is they'll sometimes put a screen behind the person to make it seem like there's motion, they're driving or something.
Oh, yeah. But it's obvious too, so it looks a little campy, but it's Wes Anderson?
Yeah.
Yeah, classic
Starring Benedict Cumberbatch.
Oh, cool.
It's very kind of artsy, but I enjoyed the story. It was fun to watch, and it's really short. It's on Netflix. I thought it was a good time.
Nice. There's been a few. He has, there's a bunch of Roald Dahl shorts that Wes Anderson has put out in the last month or so on Netflix. I think I watched one of them with Natasha.
Okay. This is the only one I've seen, but I did enjoy it. About, I don't know, maybe 50 minutes long, something like that.
Okay.
I also watched Beth Stelling.
I haven't seen her new special yet. That's what it's called? You Didn't Want Me Then?
I think it's They Didn't Want Me Then.
Okay.
I messed that up. It's funny.
Yeah,
it's funny.
Of course it is.
I
enjoyed
it.
Yeah.
It was good.
We got to get clips. You got to get clips. I'll watch it. I'll probably watch it with Natasha out of town. You know what I want to watch now that Natasha's out of town? Have you seen... This is going to be weird, because I didn't want to watch this movie when I heard it was coming out, because I was like... It was almost like when there was another Robin Hood. You're like, why do we need another version of this, right?
Yeah.
I spit while I was talking. It landed on the desk, and I thought it was more ink. I'm like, what? It was funny I say that, because the movie I'm thinking about, the newest Robin Hood had Gladiator, Russell Crowe, in it. Mm-hmm. And he was also in Noah. Have you seen the newest Noah? I think it might be the only Noah. So I had no interest in seeing the Noah story, right? Familiar with it. Did you know Darren Aronofsky directed it?
I did not.
Doesn't that make you kind of want to watch it?
I'm trying to remember that name. Who did you?
Isn't he the one that did like Black Swan?
That sounds right.
Yeah. So Aronofsky does those like psychological thriller type movies, right?
Yeah. Let's see.
You're looking up his filmography?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking. Pie. Yeah, I was going to say Pi. Damn it. I should have said Pi with confidence. Yeah.
Requiem for a Dream.
Yes. Yeah. It made you feel terrible. Yeah. I didn't hate that movie, but I loved it so much. I've only watched that movie once. I was like, great job. Never need to feel this way ever again. But excellent job. 10 out of 10.
I completely agree with that.
Yeah. Ass to ass. I've seen it once and I remember that part. But yeah.
All right. What else have you been watching?
Tasha's out of town. I'm going to watch Noah. Can we come back and can we do a movie club Noah for this week? Okay. We'll talk about Noah next week. I have a bone to pick with you.
Do tell.
I watched Bodies, or I should rephrase that. I watched 4 episodes of Bodies and said, this is R-worded and I'm not going to watch this shit anymore. Alan's full of shit.
What didn't you like about it?
It was slow. There was a seance. It was dumb. I didn't like how slow it was either.
You mentioned it was slow.
Yeah. Well, twice. That part's important to me.
Right. It's kind of like, I guess, older school, like British police like shows almost, you know what I mean? Like, I understand it is slow.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm used to that sort of style.
Okay. Yeah. Just hipster. You probably wouldn't like it.
Speaking of hipsters, real quick, wedge this in here. Did you see that the Bronx voted a Republican in for their city council? First time since like the 80s.
Wow.
People are freaking out. It's the Bronx. It's like hipster central.
Yeah. Is it?
That's wild.
It's not Brooklyn. Brooklyn's hipster central.
Bronx, Brooklyn.
I don't know my boroughs very well. I got to be honest with you. I know the Bronx is up, the battery is down. It's from that hooray, the Yanks are in town. The Bronx is up, the battery is down. It's some chant my grandpa told me once when we were in New York. And he's like, we're in Battery Park. Here's this phrase. And it'll just live in my head forever.
Rent free.
Yep.
All right, moving on. What else did you
watch? I watched Dead Reckoning, the newest Mission Impossible movie, and I highly recommend it. Edge of my seat the entire time.
Cool. Where is that?
You can buy it or rent it. And I chose to buy it because it's a part one of two, which means when the second one comes out, I'm not going to want to rent it again.
Right.
And, you know, all those movies are just, they're very rewatchable. I'm sure at some point it'll be free, but it won't be free when you want to see it to get caught up before the next movie. I promise you that.
I was surprised browsing through Netflix how much HBO content they've purchased. There's a lot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It is weird to watch things swap too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like we were watching some show on Hulu called Better Off Ted, just looking for an old sitcom to watch. And we got through the first season. We like went to start the second season and they were like, just kidding. We're gone now. We're not here anymore. And it's not picked up by anybody else yet. Oh. And then at one point it was saying 30 Rock was going to disappear. It said 10 days till it's gone. So we were like, we got to watch all of these. And then it's just, I guess they renegotiated their contract. 30 Rock should be on Peacock. It's literally about NBC.
It literally is. That's true.
In this Dead Reckoning, so the movie is about, well, no. It has been spoiled. Well, we talked about it, right? How Joe Brandon watched a screening of this movie and then he wrote his AI policy, his executive order.
Oh, yeah, I think we did.
Yeah, so there's an AI as the villain, basically. But just keep in mind, this was filmed, 2 years ago, a year and a half ago. Like, that's pretty great predictions on that. And if you keep in mind, this and the newest James Bond movie came out prior to the pandemic and got pushed back because of the pandemic. And then the villain was a pandemic virus. Like, that's weird, man. You know,
fucking simulation.
Yeah. Yeah. Remember the SolarWinds hacked, how like all the government agencies got hacked in like August of 2020. And they were like, it just lives there now. It's in our stuff. Like, yeah, we should have caught it. That's not SolarWinds, but like that type of breach and concern is a big part of this. Yeah. Like, they have to go to like old servers basically and stuff like that. I'm not spoiling anything. I will tell you one way that this movie delivers and delivers hard. Like in a lot of these movies, you get like one scene where Tom Cruise is running. There's like multiple scenes. They must have, they're like, look, people show up to watch you sprint. It's just amazing to watch. And he does a great job with it. He does a great job.
Did he run down any buildings?
No. And I feel like, so he had a really cool special effect where he like jumped a motorcycle into a, like a wingsuit and then parachute, right? Base jump type thing.
Okay.
It was cool, but it wasn't like, I don't know. We've seen him hold onto the side of a jet while it takes off, you know, like, true. But he's also like 69, like
nice.
Yeah. The other night me and Natasha were watching TV and we were coming up with what to watch. And I was like, oh, you know what? I just want to watch Dr. Strangelove. I talked about it on the show last week. Let's just watch it. And she's like, well, let's watch a trailer. And I was like, I don't want to watch a trailer. Let's just put it on. She's like, okay. So we put it on. And then like, she immediately, she's like, I didn't know it was a war movie. And I'm like, well, it's kind of a war movie. I mean, it's a satire about power, yeah. And you know, but like
the absurdity of the nuclear arms race.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she like left the room. And
did you watch it?
Yes. Yeah, I watched it. Okay. Yeah. Okay. And I got over everything and fell in love with the bomb, as the subtitle implies. It's fine. It's going to be fine. You know what's crazy about that movie is at the end of it, when they're like accepting the result of what's happening, and we just finished a nuclear arms race, right? And the general is like, we can't have a mind gap, because they all, yeah, I don't want to spoil it too much, but well, no, fuck it. I don't have
to. It's been out for like 50
years,
I think.
Yeah. So the point, 64, by the way.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So 60 years. Wow. Mm-hmm. So everybody's going to die except for, you know, preserved specimens. And they're talking about humans, and they're like, and the specimens can live in mine shafts all around the United States. And the generals start arguing about how they can't have, you know, just like you don't want to have a missile gap, they can't have a mine gap. And that's kind of like the last joke of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, do you want to do do you want to see if you can tell what's a congressman and what's a Pottery Barn sofa? Yeah.
Yeah. Are we doing four sofas and one congressman?
Well, I don't know. I think I'm running out of sofas. So let's do two congressmen and one sofa.
Okay.
Okay. Let me figure out my sofa. Okay. Man, I look at these and I swear to God, I've said them. Well, hopefully you haven't been paying attention. All right. I got Audrey Harris.
Okay.
Lauren Underwood, Brandon Williams.
Audrey Harris, Lauren Underwood, Brandon what?
Williams.
Brandon Williams.
One of these is a sofa. One of these is two sofas pushed together to become one name. And the other two are real names that are members of Congress.
Okay. Sorry, can you say them one more time?
Sure. Audrey Harris. Do you need me to use it in a sentence?
No.
Okay, I got a sentence though. I got Lauren Underwood.
Okay.
Do you need me to use it in a sentence? No? I've still got a good sentence.
Oh, I mean, if you want
to. And I've got Brandon Williams. Do you need me to use it in a sentence?
Like, go ahead.
I mean, it would have been better with the girls, but Brandon Williams was caught at a play jacking off their male date.
Okay. I'm going to say...
Beetlejuice musical.
It's so Brandon funny. Williams is a member of the House of Representatives.
You're Googling, you son of a bitch.
No. I just typed the name so I could remember them. So I'm torn between Audrey Harris or Lauren Underwood. I'm going to say that Lauren Underwood is the couch.
Now, I'm not asking this to sway your opinion one way or the other. So you're locked. You can lock in for Lauren Underwood. Before you do, I see how you spelled Lauren.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how anyone spells Lauren. Were you in a hurry?
No, I work with somebody that spells it that way.
L-O-R-E-N?
Oh. Yeah. Oh, they used A-U?
Yeah. Does that change your opinion? I would correct you over either of these if I caught that.
Right, right.
Yeah.
No, I still think that that's the couch.
Okay, so this is the sound when you're right. And then I got this bell because I don't have a buzzer yet. That's when you're wrong. I don't think that makes any sense, but Sorry, Alan, you were wrong.
Was I right about Brendan Williams?
Yes, yes, okay. Yes, yes. Audrey Harris was the sofa.
Was the couch.
Was two sofas, okay. Yeah.
I was torn between
Audrey. That's from Liar Liar. Did you actually get that, or did it just make you laugh?
It just made me laugh. I don't remember that.
Yeah, he goes, Fletcher, and he goes, Audrey.
Fun.
Yeah. Fun.
All right, so I lost. You won. Well, I got one out of three.
So you said one W O N and then one O N E right now, and they sounded the same. I kind of like that you're not being consistent with it anymore, and I'd like to think that's progress. That's an example of what we do here at Nuntaken. Just over time, we kind of erode your defenses, and we get in there. And
you start saying one different.
Yeah. I'm supposed to ask a question in the show, huh?
Oh, yeah.
No, this is that whole story about that guy. I can't believe I told that story before the show. Oh, you know what I wanted to ask you? Is Natasha was asking me this, so I was taking her to the airport. What's up one band that you haven't seen that you'd like to see before they retire or die or you expire?
Oh, wow. I've seen most bands.
That's what I'm saying. I was like, this is tough because the Stones were the top of that list for like 30 years for me. And then
I still haven't seen the Stones.
I've might be running out of time. They just released an album. It's actually pretty good.
I have heard that. I haven't seen Elton John either. It probably between those two.
So I saw Elton John in 2013, and it felt like the last year I wanted to see Elton John.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess it'd be the Stones.
Yeah? So I thought about this a long time because...
Foo Fighters.
Okay, so Foo Fighters are on my list, although I've seen them twice. But both times I'd seen them, they had only released... the first time it was just that first album and Color and the Shape. And then the second time it was after their third album with Learn to Fly on it. Like, so there's been so much more since then.
Oh yeah.
I'd totally be down to see the Foo Fighters again. And part of that argument is it's closest. So I'm going to get to be able to see Nirvana. Right.
Yeah.
I still haven't seen my close personal friend, Jack White, perform yet. So I think he's up on my list, and oddly enough, Beck.
Interesting. Why Beck?
He's a great artist, man. That first album, Odelay, I play it all the time still. And I feel like if any of the later albums mattered as much to me as that one did, like in my timeline of listening to music, I'd probably be hooked on those songs as much too.
That's cool.
Yeah. Beck's just a great artist. I'm sure it'd be really, really good artistic experience. I haven't seen Tool yet, and I'd like to see Tool too.
Oh, that would be awesome. Those tickets are legendarily. They sell out.
I would have had free on stage tickets, but Natasha had a show the day after, and it was just like, it's not like I didn't go because of her show. I'll get another chance. I've got a friend who's roadies, and sometimes it's on the same gigs.
I saw the White Stripes like 20 years ago.
Damn.
Yeah, it was fun.
That's cool.
It was at BFD.
But the same thing. There's been a lot of songs since then.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was more fun than I...
Good times.
Yeah, we got a lot more out of that than I thought we might have. So, all right. Well, I guess I'll just go back to being lonely here.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'll talk to you on...
To cuddle with Petra.
I will cuddle with Petra. She said I can hug her pillow, too. You know what? I'm going to buy a waifu pillow for while she's gone. All right. Waifu pillow, Amazon. All right, man. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Cheers.
When a guy's banging you,
y'all let me in his damn house.
Oh, how about that?
Come in the name of peace.
LMFAO.
So what in the world is this?
Is Kevin McCarthy a moron, and if so, why?
Why would you say something that stupid?
I come without explanations or solutions.
I'm a very sexy lady,
cat turd.
I will not suffer this harlot.
How great, an anti-American Marxist.
Ted Cruz, go fuck yourself.
Read the news.
China is asshole.
God bless the United States.
Now this is podcasting.